AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Scottsdale, Arizona. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us now at our semi-cool studios at 9th and Gamble. Good morning, Dr. Kersey.
Good morning, David.
You know, so often you and I use the term, or you specifically use the term, innate intelligence. So, what is it all about? Do we have it? And is there a way to make use of it to our best advantage? Innate intelligence is the topic of our first conversation this morning with the good doctor. What happens when we get aligned with our innate intelligence?
Boy, so that's a tough one because innate intelligence is its own being. If people talk about, oh, well, subconsciously I did this or subconsciously I did that, or when you're breathing at night and your heart is beating every day, that's innate. That's your innate powers that be, and that is what keeps you coordinated and adapted to your environment. And without an innate intelligence, you're nothing because there is no more function. So the innate intelligence, if we're in line with innate intelligence, that means we have the proper flow of the nervous system over and through from the brain, the spinal cord, out to every single cell in the body, and there's no interference from the brain, spinal cord, out to every single cell, and back where that communication can occur. So if you're in line with innate intelligence, if innate is working as it should, if given the opportunity, then I believe we're in the power stroke right there. That's where we're going.
And everything you just mentioned is what we are going to explore in this conversation. What does the word innate refer to? Just that word.
I don't know.
Okay.
Innate. I mean, it's inborn intelligence. And people use innate all the time. Well,
they do.
I innately knew that. Well, what does it mean? Innate. I got a hat that has an 8 in it and has an I and an N inside the 8 circle, so that's fun. So inborn intelligence. So we have universal intelligence, which is the overall powers that keep everything in existence, what made everything. You can call it the supreme being, whatever you want, but there's definitely a higher power other than innate intelligence, and the intelligence is our inborn intelligence. Then we have our educated intelligence, where we learn, and that's the intelligence people talk about. Well, and then you have emotional intelligence too, right? We have an emotional quotient.
Some have it.
Yeah, some have it, which is more important than the IQ, right? The intelligent quotient. So there's all kinds of intelligences that we have. Some are less than others, like me right now, not knowing what the actual definition is. I mean, I know what the definition of our innate intelligence is, but it's the inborn intelligence.
Is innate intelligence, as you know it to be, is it a characteristic, is it a natural ability, or is it learned through experience or gained knowledge?
I think that would be our educated intelligence.
Okay.
That would be our learned knowledge. Our innate intelligence doesn't need any help. It doesn't need to be told what to do. It doesn't need any learning. It is what it is, and it is the one that is keeping us functioning at every single second of life. That is your soul. That is what functions. That's what makes us tick.
I was going to ask you, can you call innate intelligence something else?
Superconscious.
If you were going to give it another.
Yeah,
thing.
People call it subconscious. You know, but what makes us? What makes our heart beat? We don't have to tell us to beat our heart, or you know, our lungs to function.
No.
Or when my arms are flammed because I'm Italian, I talk with my hands, right?
Right.
So it's just that's what we do, and that's our innate intelligence. It takes all the systems and all the organs and coordinates them and makes sure everybody's functioning well. It's going to make up for the lack in the body. It's always going to do the best for the entire organism. So it's going to keep everything functioning.
At its core, what do you believe that innate intelligence continuously is working on within us? Everything you just said?
Yeah, I'd say adaptation and coordination.
Okay.
That's the two big things, because we have that environment out there that's impacting us every day.
Yes.
All the stresses, all the thoughts, all the traumas, all the toxins. That's what the body has to deal with, and that innate intelligence takes that and works with it and adapts that. It says, all right, well, I'm going to work for the benefit of the whole, so this part's not working well. I'm going to do this better over here, and that's what we see. And it's just not one. That's why the symptom world doesn't work. That's why the world that we live in, we'll call it the medical world, where, oh, I have a pain here. okay, well, let's take care of that pain there. No, it's maybe not. Maybe it's the body telling you something, and maybe it's trying to adapt to something else, and that information is coming from somewhere, and we have to get to the cause of it. And then if we remove that cause, then the body gets to work as it should.
Do you believe that it's our innate intelligence that is always striving to keep us in a state of, one, stability, two, balance, and three, optimal health throughout our lives?
I think that it would be a great definition of that, and that would be adapting to what we have subject ourselves to, our choices. A lot of that comes from our choices that
right.
we make, and your body has to deal with that. As we sip our coffee, David, is it good? Is it bad? What research have you read? Up to 5 cups is good. Maybe more is not good. Maybe up to 4 is not good. So who knows? But I mean, that's what your body has to do. Your body mm-hmm. takes that in, and it works with it. And it does its thing.
I'm just trying to get high. That's all
yeah,
I'm trying to do.
A little coffee.
Where do you begin to balance, or let me rephrase that. Where do you begin to harness your body's super wisdom that we know is in favor of life and growth and well-being?
I'd say I try to make the right choices on how I'm going to test my innate intelligence.
Ah.
Right? So if I'm going to work out, that's going to help me. And, you know, we talked to a patient yesterday, somebody's depressed and they need a counselor. But you know what? They have poor choices in diet, no exercise,
right.
Not working, and drinking is low. I mean, you can't do all those things and expect to live a healthy life. So I'd say I try to promote the innate intelligence
yes.
and the innate healing by making better choices and work. I got 6 hours sleep last night. wasn't my ideal, but it's what I had to do because I had to do some organization
yes.
last night. I had to do some cleaning. So I make good food choices. We're not eating crappy food for the most part. We're exercising. We're trying to get the right sleep and trying to have the right thoughts. Always reading. People, it's amazing. You read all the time.
All the time.
And I read.
I'm a reader.
And I read as much as I possibly can. I used to read a little bit more, but I'm back to reading pretty good. And I read real good now, Dave. And that really has a impact on your intelligence and your innate intelligence, your educated intelligence. All those things are coming together. So if we're doing more to stimulate our innate intelligence and to keep it working at 100%, because it's always working at 100%. Let me just correct myself on that one. It's always working at 100%, but when it has that interference and it can't get to the outside source or can't get the feedback because of subluxation or lack of proper flow of nervous system energy, then that's where it's blocked. But we want to try to enhance that by not having the things that cause subluxation.
You know, one of the sad parts about life is that, and I've realized this at my age, is that I won't be able to read all the books that I want to read in the rest of my lifetime.
Can you read one and listen to one at the same time?
I think you can. Can innate intelligence manage all of the things that we're talking about without our involvement?
That's what it's supposed to do.
Oh.
I mean, that's what it's designed for. It's designed for us to just live our lives the best we can, and it's going to take care of us. And it's going to adapt. It's going to coordinate. It's going to make sure we're doing what is necessary to live. And I think without all the craziness in life, we'd be able to live to 100 years. And there's so many things we can do to promote a 100-year lifestyle. We had Dr. Plaster runs the 100-year lifestyle. You could go on his website. I think it's 100yearlifestyle.com.
Uh-huh.
And then Dr. Wolfson, he's a medical doctor. He is a cardiologist. He doesn't use any drugs. He's a more supplement and lifestyle choice doctor. And he has now changed his point to living 100 years. And everybody's trying to live to 100 years. Well, we're going to retire at 65, or we're going to just live 35 more years. I don't think that's the way to go either. We're designed to live that long. My grandmother's 104.
How's she doing today?
She's a little nuts, but that's okay. she's having a fine time. She's living on her own. But we're designed to live that long. If we take care of ourselves, we should be able to live that long.
Could we all be doing so much better if we were to cooperate with our innate intelligence consciously instead of fighting it or challenging it or abusing it.
That's what we were just talking about with the coffee, right? Just challenging it and abusing it. Well, I'll just have this. I'll just have this donut, or I'll just do this. We're challenging. And look what it does. It just keeps us going.
Yes.
And it adapts. So if we can challenge it less and help it more, I think we'd be all right.
How does one cooperate with their inner wisdom?
How do you get adjusted? I mean, that's the first thing. If you have subluxation in your spine, if you have a misalignment of bones putting pressure on nerve, let's just say, people can call it a pinched nerve, they call it a disc problem, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I used to get more upset when it's like, I have a pinched nerve. No, you don't know the thing is pinched nerve. It doesn't really pinch because there's really not bone on nerve. Well, all right, you want to call it a pinched nerve, you call it a pinched nerve. You want to talk about putting a your foot on the hose and not having the water come out the other end, that's the kink. Whatever you want to talk about, that's fine. Let's just say lack of proper flow. If there's an interference with the nerve flow from the brain to spinal cord out to every single cell in the body, there's going to be a problem. And if we can remove those subluxations first and make sure everything is functioning properly, then we'll have better resistance. Then those opportunistic organisms won't come in and take over and make us sick. If we're working to benefit the body all the time and have more things in our survival values
right.
versus our destructive values, I think we're going to be really well to do. And you never know. You could step off the curb and get hit by a bus. I hope you don't.
Almost have, yes.
But that's life, right? You never know when you're going to go. Only one person does. And I think is the more we do to just promote our health, the better. That's what we've been doing for the last 3 years here, right?
Yes.
We've been saying promote health, and health comes from within. It does not come from a pill. It does not come from a potion or a lotion. It just comes from within. And when we say health comes from within, health comes from innate intelligence, and that's what we have to look forward to.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that we as human beings need to be well in order for us to have the needed spark, in order to match up with our higher self, which is our innate intelligence?
You know, it's funny because my dad had, there was an old chiropractic philosopher, Fred Barge. Dr. Barge died several years back, but my dad was listening. He came out to Iowa back in like 89 at Palmer College, and he was saying how some of his healthiest patients don't eat well and they're overweight and they don't exercise. And my dad just, you know, flipped his lid. He's like, you can't be, you have to exercise, you have to eat right, you have to. But yet there are those people out there smoking cigarettes on their porch, having a shot of whiskey every day, and living 112 years old. So does that real? I mean, but that just happens to be them. That's the oddballs that happen to live that long.
Yeah.
Usually, if you're doing the things that don't promote health, you're not going to live that long. So we have to kind of say, well, I'm going to try to do more to just increase my chances of living longer.
Absolutely. We've established that our innate intelligence is inbuilt. Would external factors like thoughts, traumas, and toxins quiet its consciousness, leading us to pain and possibly disease?
Wow. So quiet its consciousness. I think that's a great way to say, hey, you're interfering with its job. And you're interfering with those things. We know that thoughts, traumas, and toxins cause misalignment.
Yes.
And we know that the physiological effects of thoughts, traumas, and toxins do show up in the nervous system. They do show up as symptoms. And we have to address those to make sure that we're back on track. And I think that that's exactly what we're doing, is we're taxing the body, and we're taxing the body, the innate job, to keep us coordinated.
What do you think happens when we shut down our receptive selves to the power of innate intelligence?
Well, we shut down ourselves by the use of all the other stuff. I just don't think you're going to be a happy person living at your optimum potential.
Sure.
I just think that you just, it's like when you get adjusted and the lights come on. Isn't that nice?
Mm.
When your flow is back.
Yes.
And Mihai Kikmasahali, he has a great book called Flow. And when we're in that flow state, that's where we want to be. Whether it's you doing radio or TV or whatever it is, when you know that you're in the groove, that's all right. And when I'm adjusting patients and everything is going smoothly and everything, all the adjustments are just boom, boom, and that's in flow. And when we're our body's in flow, we're eating well, we're thinking well, we have a great attitude, and we're just in that flow state. That's where I think most people lack. and they're not in that flow state because they have some kind of challenge that they're undertaking that is just messing with their overall flow state.
What is chiropractic's role or function with the body's innate intelligence?
That's just to remove interference and normalize the nervous system. If we can normalize your nervous system, if we can make sure that that nerve flow is doing its job and just lack of interference, that's our job. Our job is not to decrease your pain. Our job is not to fix disease, cure disease. Our job is to remove the cause of interference. And if we can remove the cause of interference, then your innate intelligence can do its job the way it was meant to do it, and then that's the way you reach optimum potential.
So I want to reiterate
what
you just said.
If you can.
If innate intelligence is programmed to cause our body to thrive with health, how does chiropractic facilitate that program?
By simply removing the interference by the adjustment. And then you can do all kinds of things in chiropractic. As we've stated before, there's so many other modalities and different therapies that you can do to enhance the body's overall function, whether it's exercise or laser or decompression or whatever it is, that's fine. But our main purpose is to get that innate intelligence flowing through and over the nervous system to create better health.
Dr. Kersey, imagine with me, if you will, do you believe there to be an even bigger force that governs our innate intelligence, that to which it programs it to properly develop, heal, and restore function?
I think there is the universal intelligence, as we call it.
That's
that created all the
power,
keeps it in existence, and you can call that the supreme being. You can call it God. You can call it whatever you want. You're putting it out into the universe. We talk about the universe now, which we were, you know, afraid to talk about back in the day. You know, putting it out in the universe, but oh, don't say that. Don't let the universe hear you. What are you talking about? Why is everybody talking about the universe all of a sudden? And that's you've heard it, right?
Yes.
You've heard people say, oh, I put it out in the universe. I'm manifesting it.
Right.
I'm manifesting it to happen. How? Well, there's got to be something out there that is helping us out. But the innate intelligence, I think, is within us and only us, and designed for our own person and our limitations that we have and our lack of limitations that we have. Some of us have plates and screws. Some of us have one or two limbs missing. So there are different things that the body can only go to its optimum potential for that particular person because we're different. Everyone's different.
Is chiropractic really about framing up signals of innate intelligence flowing from our brain to our body, which then the healing process will begin?
I think that's what it should be about. Well, it's what it should be about. That's what it was designed for, right? That's what it was founded on. It was founded on the tone of the nervous system, and it was founded on making sure that flow was at proper tone, not increasing or decreasing, just normal. So we don't want to inhibit or stimulate. We're just trying to reach normal, and that's what the basis is. Now you'll see that chiropractic is about pain, headaches, limb pain. Sure,
low
it's about
pain.
All that too. Low back pain. It's about all that, but it's about so much more.
Right.
And it's fun. We got a new scanner. It's a thermal scanner, right?
So
you know, a myovision scanner.
I
use it, rolls up your spine. This one, he developed a new one where you sit back and it takes from the atlas to the sacrum. It takes C1 to S1, and you shine it on. Oh, you just hold it back, and it shows you the hot spots of the spine.
Interesting.
So it was really cool. So I got it. I hooked it up yesterday, and there was this little kid that came in, 10. I think he was 10. 10 or 12 years, I think he's 10. 10-year-old kid comes in and he had knee pain, and they said, the mom said, is that growing pain? I said, well, I don't know if anybody else talks about growing pains the way I do, but I don't think growing pains are real. I think growing pains are nothing more than interference of the nervous system, and when we remove that interference, growing pains seem to go away, so then is it really growing pains? Anyway, he had knee pain, and I just, he had pants on, and I just said, let me see what this does. So I took the infrared scanner, the thermal scanner, and I shined it on both of his knees, like shined it, but it doesn't shine.
Right.
But I held it in front of both his knees, and there was a big, huge red spot on his left anterior leg. And I said, whoa, roll up your pants. And he rolled up his pants. There was a mosquito bite. It picked up a mosquito bite.
Interesting.
It was super cool. But that was the body's inflammation doing its healing. That wasn't him saying, oh, I have to heal my mosquito bite. That was the body's innate intelligence doing its work. It was going from the Ruber-Kauer dolor fasciolatia, and it was doing its process of healing, and we didn't have to tell it how to do it. it was already doing it. But it showed up on a thermal scanner that he had a mosquito bite. Super cool. And that was just, that made my day last night. That was at 6 o'clock last night. I said, dude, you made my day. I said, that was, of all the things we did today, finding a mosquito bite on your leg, just showing what the body's doing. It's just not, it's just amazing what the body can do. And that to me was pretty cool.
What colors don't you want to see on a thermal scanner?
Well,
you got any greens or
greens,
blue?
Green and blue is pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
The super red hot spots aren't good, and the super cold black aren't very good, because that means there's no flow.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Is the human body designed to heal naturally?
Absolutely, 100%. Your body's healing on a regular basis all the time. Well, in 7 years, everything's replaced, right? So everything is always being in a state of organized chaos, right? It's always healing. It's always doing its magic all day long.
What do you think happened when we introduced drugs and medication into the human body, 100 years ago?
So your body has to deal with those drugs, too. So it can do things. It can get rid of pain. It can fake the body. It can do certain things to decrease inflammation. And it can save lives of many people for different problems and symptoms and disease processes that they're dealing with. But I think we're over-drugged. I think we're a lot – people are reaching for Advils and ibuprofens and just over-the-counter stuff just so frequently, just trying to decrease the pain and so they can sleep a little more, or they can work, or they can play a sport. All right, I'm just not a fan of that. I think it's just too easily accessible. You have to really know what's going on before you drug the body.
What do you think would happen if there was a supply chain shortage on over-the-counter medications and lotions and balms?
We'd be a little bit happier, I think.
Do you think we'd be healthier?
I think we'd be a lot healthier, yeah.
Does science have an exact answer as to why the human body knows how to heal itself on its own?
I think chiropractors do. I think that the chiropractic world is very well versed. Maybe not me, but the other chiropractors are very well versed in what that is and how the body heals. And we know it heals from within. We know it goes from above down, inside out, and that's the way the brain, spinal cord, nervous system. That's the way it functions, and we know what it causes healing. And we can't reproduce it. You can't just. It's too incredible, but I think we have a pretty good understanding.
When I get adjusted on a regular basis, how do you think the innate intelligence is reacting within me?
I think it likes the normal flow. I think it doesn't have to deal with the problems for so long. And we were talking to a patient yesterday. He's like, you know, I come in here in pain, and I go away, and I come back, and you tell me what a good care plan is, but I don't listen. And it was pretty fun to listen to him talk about him not listening and having to deal with the problems over and over again. I thought, well, you finally got it. After 20, I think I've known him for 27 years, and he finally said, should I stay on a regular adjustment basis? And I said, yeah. And, you know, we used to say once a month is great. And if you're just getting checked, if you have your teeth cleaned every 6 months, that's great. If you go to your regular physician once a year for your checkup, great. If you go to the chiropractor once a month to make sure your nervous system is functioning, is that great? It's pretty good, because we know that the nervous system controls every single cell in the body, and everything has a nerve supply. So that is the overall functioning of the body, comes from the nervous system, which should be the most important thing you take care of above your teeth and above everything else. Once a month, great. What happens, though, when we have a trauma, when we introduce a huge stress in our life? After 2 weeks, degeneration occurs. So if the degeneration process starts within 2 weeks of any injury or any major event, you should be adjusted within that 2 weeks. That's why I go to Arizona every 2 weeks to adjust my children,
right,
to make sure they don't go 2 weeks without an adjustment.
Do we do ourselves as human beings a disservice by not only not listening to our chiropractors, but our innate intelligence?
Listening to innate. I think it does tell you what's going on all the time, and it knows, and you know what your body's telling you.
Right.
And you don't listen, shame on you. Just listen to your body. But yeah, we are doing a disservice to our overall being by not listening to our innate, or not trying to support our overall health status.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage in Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700, KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, we don't talk about this a lot. I don't think we ever have. Toes are a common part of the body to feel numb or tingly, like mine. So, if the feeling does not go away, what can this be a sign of?
Ooh, good question. I thought you were going to talk about adjusting toes, which we do.
Do you really?
You get this cramping in the toes, and people are like, oh, my toes. So I have sinks in every room, which is nice because I get to wash after I touch feet.
Yeah.
It's feet.
Yeah.
So the adjusting of toes happens, sometimes coming down from the talus bone of the foot, sometimes in the metatarsal phalangeal joint, sometimes in the actual interphalangeal joints. It all depends on what's going on with the toes. It could cause tingling, numbness, that kind of thing, if it's jammed up from hitting a bedpost or just running or bad shoes, whatever. So there could be a misalignment of the toe joint itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That could be one thing. Or it could be this thing called peripheral neuropathy.
I've heard of that.
Oh, yes, peripheral neuropathy. Now, there are a bunch of people out there trying to do, there's a new machine out there, some kind of stimulation for peripheral neuropathy, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Apparently, it's pretty good. I know a couple of chiropractors in the States that are doing this thing for peripheral neuropathy. Okay, peripheral neuropathy means nerve pain away from the body, right? So it's peripheral, it's away from the spine, so it's in the arms and legs, so we get a peripheral neuropathy, usually associated with diabetes. There's a lot of diabetic peripheral neuropathy, so you have to watch when you get a diagnosis, because everybody wants to get a diagnosis. Once you get the I got the peripheral neuropathy. Well, what's the cause of your peripheral neuropathy? What's the cause of your toe pain? Is it big toe pain, podagra? Podagra is usually from gout. And that is the urocrystals, the forming in the tiniest of capillaries at the base of the toe. So you'll get that in the ears. You get ear tophi. You'll get podagra, big toe pain, from gout. So there are all kinds of things that can come from toe pain, numbness, or it could be sciatic neuralgia. I got the sciatica. I don't have low back pain. Doesn't matter. You don't have to have low back pain to have sciatica. You don't have to have leg pain to have low back pain. Ah, that's a new one. So the symptoms can be many, and they can be from many different causes. We look for the spine for the cause of that problem first. Is it coming from there? We'll check out the feet. We'll check out the gait. We'll check out what's going on. We'll look at your diet. We'll say, all right, are you eating a lot of wine out of goblets and eating much steak? So you know, that's with gout, right? So that's poor diet choices. So we'll look at that. We'll see what it's coming from. And then we'll look and see if it's really peripheral neuropathy. Do you have diabetes? Are you insulin dependent or not? Or what is your diet really like? A lot of it comes down to diet with that stuff. We've had people lose their legs from peripheral neuropathy.
Ouch.
But he's a good sport when we bust his chops for that. So choices.
Sure.
Many times it could be coming from the low back, L4, 5, S1, so coming down into there. We have a guy right now with not only peripheral neuropathy, but he has severe leg pain, but he has toe pain, but he has foot drop. So he has to have that steppage gait. He has to lift up real high because he can't raise his foot, so he can't bring his toes off the ground.
Interesting.
Craziness, yeah.
When there is numbness in the toes, is this about nerves in the toes getting mixed signals or not getting the right signals?
It could be lack of signalitis there. It could be.
Is that such a thing?
I just made it up.
I thought so.
So it could be lack of signals coming down. The interference of that could be just pressure. It could be overexcitement of a nerve coming down in there, causing increased sensitivity. It could be so many things, Dave. It's just, you just don't know.
Because right.
Everybody comes in, and I got this, and I have that, and I got the sciatica. And so it all depends on really what's going on with that person.
When someone comes in with a diagnosis, will you try to pick apart that diagnosis to try to either simplify it or go to the core or the origination?
Yeah, we love doing that. Oh, I have it. And where did you get that from? Was that from a provider or was that from Google? Oh, I Google. I love the Google diagnosis.
Dr. Google.
But you know what? Dr. Google's pretty good sometimes. It just gives you the worst-case scenario.
Sure.
And, you could be dying. No, it was a mosquito bite. That was the thermal imaging we picked up.
Oh, I got a mosquito bite. Now I got anxiety.
Anxiety. And that is a huge thing because we've had, I'm going to say a good half dozen people in the last month diagnosed with something, and all of a sudden everything else started to go downhill. And I said, yeah, you really have to, you don't really know what's going on yet. let's wait until we get a proper biopsy diagnosis.
Yes.
Something, because you're so stressed out about what they're telling you, because they love to tell you the worst case. And I say they, that's the unchiropractic world. They give you the worst case scenario, and oh, thank God it's not that. Well, why'd you build me up for that? Well, let's start here and say, well, it's probably nothing, but we're going to do some more tests and see, or let's take one step at a time. But the diagnosis of, oh, you could be dying right now. This could be the worst. Let's stop that. Let's give some people some hope to actually get through what they need to be getting through, because to take away all their hope and their skills to survive because of anxiety. We know anxiety through the pandemic. We know that fear was decreasing immune function like no other. Mm-hmm. And people were becoming sick because they thought they were going to get sick. And it was a bad thing. It was all that fear and anxiety and high sympathetic state.
When someone gets a dire diagnosis, is chiropractic qualified to give a second opinion?
We can give a second opinion if we have the right information.
Right.
I'm going to need, if you have some kind of diagnosis, I'm going to need all the tests and everything else. And we send people for MRI and CAT scans or things that we don't think, you know, if it doesn't look like a duck, quack like a duck, and whatever, that we make sure that we know what it is.
Absolutely.
And I asked a person yesterday that had some different symptoms. When was their last imaging? Because I know they were going to other providers. Well, we've had so much imaging and they're starting to glow. Okay, well, you don't glow from MRI, but that's okay too. But we want to make sure we have all the proper information so we know that this isn't just peripheral neuropathy. We know that this is not some kind of cancer or some kind of infection in the spine or disease going on. So we have to be aware of what's happening. So, and we have to do that quickly, because sometimes you don't get that too long with them before they take a walk.
What are nerves supposed to be doing when they are performing optimally?
Well, they're supposed to be giving the proper information to the end organ, whether that's a cell, a tissue, an organ system. It gives that proper information to the organ and then back, and I say organ, skin's an organ, muscle's an organ. So when do we take that information back from the environment, back to the brain to process, and then use that innate intelligence to figure out what it needs to do and adapt and coordinate and function. So it's giving information and it's getting information. It's going back to the nervous system to get that.
And is neuropathy occurring when communication back to the brain just isn't getting through?
Yeah, it's not giving you that nociceptive fiber. It's not giving you that pain fiber. It's giving you a different sensation. And when we have numbness, tingling, burning, stinging, crawling, all these are different signs and symptoms of or characters of a pain. That's what we say. Well, what kind of pain do you have? I have a dull pain. I have a sharp pain. I have an achy pain. All right, great. I mean, that's just a character. But when we have a sharp shooting pain in the neck that goes, well, I had my buddy come in yesterday. It was pretty funny because he comes in and he says, "No, I went to the emergency room because I had arm pain and I did." And I was, "What were you doing?" I was sitting up in bed reading. "Okay." And you had your head kinked. And then, so I said, "It's coming from here." And he pushed on his neck right at C5-6. He's like, "Yeah." And I pushed on his, right in the chest. And I said, and I pushed on his mid back right in between the medial to the scapula. I said, "Right here." And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "It's going on the thumb of the first finger." He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay." So I said, "Hey, you wasted a lot of time this morning. You're going everywhere else.
$4,000.
Yeah. And then last night I called him. I said, "How you doing?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm at like 100%. I'm like, "Yeah, that's it, just 100%.
Spinal angina, I like to call it.
Remember spinal angina right back in the beginning when you had that chest pain, you think you're dying of a heart attack?
And I ended up in the ER.
Yeah.
And blood pressure was normal.
Yeah.
It was my spine.
Yeah, it was just fine. A little nerve interference, a little intercostal neuralgia or spinal angina, as we like to call it now.
Does the fact that our toes are far away from the home of the heart and the spinal cord, does that create specific challenges?
Well, once it goes into the toes, it's been there for a while.
Okay.
Whether you've had the symptoms or not, it's still been there for a while. Because once it goes out into the periphery, therefore peripheral neuropathy. What did I drop? Oh, my key. When it goes out to the periphery, then it's a little bit longer to get away usually.
Can we say that our toes are at the mercy of gravity and quite possibly take on a lot of the mechanical abuse and strain from trying to support the body?
Okay, we could say that.
We could say
it's far away, and we could say, you know, maybe you don't have such a good pedicure, Dave, because you can't reach your toes, like, you know,
right.
Some people can't reach their toes. But what about grounding? What about going out into the grass and being there in the morning and putting your feet to the ground and getting that energy back? What about that? A lot of people are into grounding lately. It's fun.
Really?
It's fun to go out to the, and just, yeah, I like doing it too. I mean, I like going out into the grass and just your feet. So there's an energy that comes from there. So even though it's far away, it can do a lot of things. So, yeah. Oh, now he's going nuts, this chiropractor. He's talking about going out to the grass. I'm all right with that. In the winter, I like to go out in the snow, and I like to run to the mailbox with bare feet just for fun because it's something different. So the feet take in a lot of that proprioceptive information from the environment and bring it back. And you think, oh, what do I need my pinky toe for? Like people without a pinky toe. It's big. It's big with bounce. So all those things matter. We're designed for a reason the way we are.
Yes.
Even though we have postural deficits lately, I think that overall we're designed to be the way we are.
Feet spend a lot of time in shoes. I'm wearing a pair right now. Yeah. Are we putting unneeded pressure and doing damage to our toes with some ill-fitting leather?
Sure. Sure we are. Look at, remember the, I think it was the Chinese that bound your feet?
Yes.
So remember that? Binding feet. Ouch. That must have hurt. So, I really think that the shoe wear is significant, and I go for their comfort shoe. You see, I've been wearing the same shoes for years. I wear the Cole Haan that are like with the fabric, and I get them on sale only. And then I've all my colors at the office, and I change my shoes when I get there. And Dr. Foley and I both do the same thing.
You're like Mr. Rogers.
We're Mr. Rogers, the chiropractor. We go in there, we change our shirt and our shoes, and then we practice because we don't want the outside stuff in there, and we don't want to smell like food or home or anything else, right? So we do that, and it is the Mr. Rogers. But I want to be comfortable all day, so those shoes are more like sneakers wearing all day long, and that actually works out really well.
Are you mindful when you grab a pair of shoes off the rack as to how they will affect your health?
Oh, yeah. I have to look at them and figure out what's going on. Skinny Raven has those On Clouds or whatever, the ON or whatever, and I'm getting the Roger. I've checked them out. I'm prepared for my new shoe.
Ooh.
For going back and forth, because I wear these Converse that I have on right now, high top Converse with recycled bottoms. I should have bought one of every color because they're the most comfortable, lightest. It's like a feather, and they don't make them. They made them for a very short period of time, and they're gone. I'm like, that was my favorite shoe because I can travel in them, and my feet don't swell, their feet don't hurt. I have to think about travel and think about you know where we're gonna go and how you're gonna get there. But it's it's very important. Shoe wear is very important.
Is a chiropractor, a podiatrist, and a neurologist all rolled into one when it comes to examining numbness in our toes?
Dave, I think, in my opinion...
Please, give it to us.
I think we're better than a neurologist in as far as foot stuff goes, a lot of stuff goes. But I had a lot of bad diagnoses back from neurologists as well as... And a podiatrist. Somebody said, who was it yesterday? Went to a podiatrist. Whose foot did I adjust yesterday? Went to a podiatrist, didn't do anything. I adjusted his metatarsal phalangeal joint, and he was like, well, it's gone. So it could be just that, because they can't do what we can do in certain arenas.
Right.
So we can't do what they do. But, we have the foot levelers. We have a laser scanner that checks out your foot, that takes a laser scan of your foot and determines your foot overall construction, and we design orthotics to your foot.
Because the nerves that communicate with your feet are the longest in your body, they are some of the first nerves that diabetes affects. Are you able to spot diabetes in a patient in the beginning stages? And what would be the plan for the patient if and when you do?
So, Dave, we have little conversations with people, and they say, I'm pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
They're like, you're 100 pounds overweight. Of course you're pre-diabetic. That's just the way it is. I mean, yeah, you're not the epitome of health anymore. You need to get your stuff under control, and it's very hard to have that conversation. Oh, I'm pre-diabetic. So what, are you going to take some drugs? They put me on drugs. Well, why don't we do it the other way? Why don't we work on our diet and our exercise and our sleep and start getting some better choices so we don't have to be on those drugs? So
right.
We have to. But yeah, then we see I'm getting the peripheral neuropathy. Oh, I have this. Oh, I have that. Oh, I have this. Well, take charge. It's time to get back to health, and it's time to, it's a sign. Oh, I'm pre. So what are you going to do? You know, wait until you go full diabetic, or are you going to do something about it besides drug it? And because we could all have the conversation with you, any medical doctor or a chiropractor or your hairdresser can have the same conversation with you. Oh, if you're pre-diabetic, you should probably change your diet and exercise, shouldn't you? Oh, yeah, I probably should. But I'm not. I'm just going to be lazy, and I'm going to take this road, and I'm going to do these things because that's what they told me to do.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and Scottsdale, Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic on AM 700 KBYR. Dr. Kersey, what's the Jersey way?
Yo.
Is that it?
Yeah. You know what's here? Jersey Mike Subs. We were having breakfast downtown at the Snow City, and this guy's wearing a Jersey hat. He's got a New Jersey state with the American flag, and he had a New York fire department. I said, yo, North Jersey? He says, Central Jersey. I said, fire department? I said, what are you doing? He's up. We're up for work. I said, what are you doing? Open up a Jersey Mike's. I go, yeah. I said, you hear the Primo Subs? And he said, that's more of a Philly thing. I said, yeah, it's my cousin. So, but yet you, when you find a Jersey dude, it's pretty fun because it's an instant connection. We love Jersey.
Have you ever heard of the Fudgy Wudgy guy?
The Fudgy Wudgy guy.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, I was just
Fudgy Wudgy Wudgy Woo.
Do you have a Bruce Springsteen story?
No. Oh, I do.
Okay.
My grandmother used to work at John Wanamaker's, which is a department store, and she worked at John Wanamaker's. And every once in a while, and she was there for many years, and so she comes home one day and she says, yeah, somebody gave me tickets to that Bruce Springsteen, but I didn't think he'd want to go, so I gave them away. She gave away Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, grandma.
So, she gave away our Bruce Springsteen tickets.
What kind of impact did the Jersey Shore Boardwalk have on your childhood?
God, it was great. So I had a friend, Dr. Nick. He owned a house on the beach in Ocean City.
Nice.
So, you become better friends with Nick because, you know, it's going down there to, you have to say, you know, every other word, by the way, when you talk in Jersey. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the Jersey Boardwalk, the Atlantic City Boardwalk is where my grandpa was born in 1904.
I didn't know.
Back in Atlantic City. So, but the Ocean City Boardwalk, I don't know how many days I spent on the boardwalk in Ocean City. Just unbelievable.
Just
and my kids, there's a picture, the metal, you know, those metal pictures?
Yes.
Yeah, my kids and their mom walking on the boardwalk in Ocean City.
Ooh.
My favorite picture because it just brings back so much Johnson's popcorns and Mac and Manco's pizza. It's just the best. Birch beer, the best, baby, the best, Sherry.
What does Jersey have the better view of?
Well, it depends where you are. If you're in North Jersey, you got some city stuff, right? Yeah. You go to the River Cafe and watch the sunset go across Manhattan. Or you come down to South Jersey, and there's really not a view of anything. And you get to the beach, and then you get, you know, to that. But we can, if you get to a high point in South Jersey where I am, you can almost see Philly. So when you're coming over the hill, you kind of see Philly.
Can you see New York City?
I've
never been there.
Yeah, from North Jersey, you can, absolutely, 100%.
One more question. Do you miss the Jersey Shore beach at night in the summer?
I miss the heck out of that. And I was talking to my kids this weekend, and the absolute favorite thing of mine is the beach. I would live on the beach all day, every day, and I'm the furthest thing from living on the beach.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number, Mike?
Yeah, 907-569-9355.
Dr. Kersey will join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversations Unlimited. Have a good week, my friend.
You too, Dave.
I'm Dave Scarrow. You have a good week.